The following paid program is furnished by Service Matters. It is for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. AM 790 Talk and Business and Navigant Credit Union presents Service Matters with your hosts, Dave Clifton and Rona Mann. Join them this hour to talk about local, regional, and global service and the great work performed by service organizations throughout Southern New England. They'll feature guests from Scouts to Lions to church groups to veterans and more. If you're interested in giving back, paying it forward, or meeting folks who do, you've come to the right place. Service Matters, brought to you by Navigant Credit Union, celebrating a century, looking forward to the next 100. Now, here's your hosts, Rotarians Dave Clifton and Rona Mann.
Good afternoon and welcome once again to another edition of Service Matters. Yes, we're live here on AM 790 WPRV. We are a Cumulus station. I'm Dave Clifton.
Hello, I'm Rona Mann.
And we'll be with you from 3 to 4 p.m. on this 20th day of January. It's about 45 degrees outside of our studios here in East Providence. Lots of things happening around the country. Of course, today is the inauguration of our new president of the United States of America. Donald Trump is his name, and we certainly wish him the best and certainly the best for our country.
You think he's listening to you, Dave? You wished him the best.
Well, he may not be listening. He may be tweeting at this time, but the fact is that I think I speak on behalf of all of us. We want to see things happen. We want to see things improve. And we certainly, it's going to be a team effort with all the people that he surrounds himself with.
I just think it's a great day for America. I like inauguration days. You know, we've had good presidents, we've had bad presidents, but regardless, we're still here. And we managed to go on. So I like inauguration days.
We also would like to remind all of our football fans out there that this is the weekend for the New England Patriots. They will host the Pittsburgh Steelers. We wish Tom Brady nothing but the best. This is going to be a real test for them. And if they win, Rona, they move on to the Super Bowl. And, of course, I'd just like to put my two cents in that the football playoffs is not the most important thing in the world. I just thought I'd mention that, although many football fans might disagree with me. The fact is, today we have an exciting show. We're going to be talking about another service as we promote our show called Service Matters, and that service is to save a life. We're also going to talk about the growing opioid health epidemic. We'll talk about the use of Narcan, which can actually reverse someone who's unconscious and give them a second shot at life. We're going to talk about maybe changing trends taking place as to how local police departments handle things. And why are we talking about this, folks? Because we're very concerned. We see the numbers are up in terms of young people overdosing, and we're going to try to find some answers on that. We have two people joining us here in the studio. James Derrick, who happens to be the president of Safe Coalition, Inc. He brings with him Jennifer Knight, the vice president of Safe Coalition. We hope later on in the program we're going to hear from my good friend Pat Glenn, lieutenant with the Quincy, Massachusetts Police Department. He was recognized at the White House by the President of the United States, and for good reason. They kind of started things in that particular area with help from the state reps and the local congressmen. So we got a show that I think is very important.
And you know,
Dave, that you'll stay with us, the listening audience.
I was saying just a few minutes ago to someone that we've been having such a great conversation off the air with these guests. It's too bad the tape isn't running, so to speak.
Well,
they're so easy to speak with.
I've always felt that it was a two-hour show anyways, an hour off the air and an hour on the air. But we hope that we can get you to listen to what we have to say here, because this is important stuff in terms of saving a life. And I'm going to throw the first question at James Derrick, who's the president of Safe Coalition, Inc. They're out of Franklin, Massachusetts, the home of the Panthers. And I know that I'm going to throw the first question at you, which is, tell us something about the coalition and its mission.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks so much for having us. And I feel a little bit odd being the president of the coalition because my good friend Jennifer Knight is actually the founder of the coalition. So I just wanted to start that out. We wouldn't be here without Jennifer's extraordinary efforts in getting us started.
Yeah, but vice president doesn't get blamed. It's the head guy that gets
blamed. That's a great point. Thanks for pointing that out.
A fish stinks from the head
that's
down.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And thanks for reminding me. The SAFE Coalition, the acronym SAFE, stands for Support for Addicts and Families Through Empowerment. And we were founded in Franklin, Massachusetts, as a Norfolk County coalition. Back in 2015, June of 2015. And we were founded by Jennifer and other local citizens, State Representative Jeffrey Roy, Representative John Fernandez out of Worcester County was also involved, and DA Michael Morrissey has certainly been enormously supportive. We were founded as a result of the alarming, to say the least, increase in opioid overdose fatalities, not only in Massachusetts but nationally. In our town alone, we experienced an incredible increase in these fatalities. Norfolk County saw, a 200% increase over a couple of years, and the community was very, very concerned. So we were founded as a volunteer-led response to try to bridge the gap between police who were can't certainly arrest their way out of the problem, and treatment providers trying to get access to treatment to people that needed it. And we have a three-pronged mission. One is education, including destigmatization of what it is, what addiction is, and how it impacts families. The other one is prevention, certainly goes along with education. We're looking to reduce barriers of treatment as well and provide supportive services to the community that are impacted by this problem.
Well, we want you to know, too, James, that the police departments with their police officers going to police academies are now being trained in exactly how they should handle this kind of a situation. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when they do the Narcan, it's not the needle-based. It's actually nasal spray. And they're changing their attitude and their styles. And when we hear from Lieutenant Patrick Glenn, who's going to call in at some point in time, we're going to talk just about that. But you've got a big responsibility as volunteers in the community and trying to drum up lots of interest because it is a major concern for lots of parents. What do they do? And talk to us about the narcotics out there that kids are using.
Right. Yeah, we were talking a little bit about this off the air, and in the old days when we were young, I'm in my 50s. I'll give that up. I have a face for radio, but we just didn't experience what we're experiencing now for one major reason, particularly with opioids. 15 to 20 years ago, Jen, correct me if I'm wrong, but about 15 to 20 years ago, pharmaceutical companies came out to train physicians that it was vitally important that they treat to a fifth vital sign, which is the pain index. Everybody's seen the frown face going all the way up to the smiley face. And importantly, doctors were educated by these pharmaceutical companies that opioids, that would be OxyContin, oxycodone, Percocet, Vicodin, that class of medication was safe to prescribe and prescribe on a long-term basis.
And it's prescribed every day by doctors and dentists.
It still is. That's
so
right.
So easily and so quickly.
Mm-hmm. And as a result, we see a generation of people growing up with the prevalence of opioids being prescribed, more frighteningly, they're winding up in the hands of younger people who see them coming out of a prescription bottle, mom or dad's prescription bottle, and think they're okay to party with. They are synthetic heroin. And when somebody runs out, when they become addicted and they can't afford those pills in the street anymore, the easiest way for them to keep from getting sick from withdrawal is to turn to heroin, a much cheaper alternative.
James, we're going to ask you to hold that thought, and eventually we're going to get to Jennifer, one of the founders of your coalition. But we do have Lieutenant Patrick Glenn on the line, and I know that he's on duty, so that's why I want to get to him right away so he can get back to work. Lieutenant Patrick Glenn from the Quincy, Massachusetts Police Department is on the line. Takes a very active role in what we're talking about. He also takes an active road teaching at the Massachusetts Police Academy. Lieutenant Patrick Glenn Fink, thank you for joining us here on AM 790.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you.
You know, we were talking earlier about that prestigious recognition that you and your department got at the White House. Tell us about it and then go into some detail, if you would, Lieutenant Glenn, about what you have been doing with this particular challenge.
Sure. We're very privileged to receive the Advocate for Action Award from the White House Office of Drug Control Policy back in 2013 for what they deemed as the Quincy Model, which was training all the officers to be able to go out and administer nasal naloxone. And that was in the forefront throughout the country. A lot of programs were out there, but none were law enforcement based. So that was one of the things that was really taken note of. And in that time period, we've reversed over 600 individuals that were overdosing on an opiate, and we were able to return them to their family in the hopes that they would go into some type of treatment, obviously. And we have a five-pillar kind of agreement that we go by, which is prevention, education, treatment, enforcement. We're still enforcing the law, but we also realize that this is an addiction. This is a disease that these individuals have, and it's not really a crime. So we'd like to say that we have changed and reset the mindset of the officers here and also the citizens.
The attitude and the practice.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, the last stage is recovery. But in the recovery, we realize that there's also relapse. So in order to really go forward with this, we have to collaborate with everyone or we're going to perish. So we need safe prescribing, an educated public, safe dispensing and disposal of drugs. So after we trained all the officers, the mindset of the public dramatically changed, now looking at us as people that were out there to assist them. Since we do not pick and choose who we service everyone in the community. And our relationship has gotten so much better over this issue. And the officers realize that that person that's being reversed on the street, whether it's a young individual or an older individual, belongs to someone. It's someone's brother, sister, mother, father, child. So that whole mindset was changed, and we fast forward to where we are today. And it is just like an everyday occurrence where the officers carry the naloxone with them just as another tool in the box to assist the public with, and they don't really think twice about it.
Lieutenant Glenn,
yes.
This is Rona Mann. I am wondering, how do you educate or how do you get your officers to educate the public to pick up the phone and call 911 and not feel there's a stigma attached?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Almost as if I posed that question for you to bring to me. Our Good Samaritan Law was amended back in 2012. And there were two important prongs that were changed, and this was going to answer your question, is that, number one, calling 911, if someone calling, they would not be arrested for a personal use dosage, nor the individual that was overdosing. That dramatically increased our call rate from the 911 system. And secondly, what it also did, it just educated the public, it informed them of this process, that the police were out there to assist them. And officers were able to, they were able to take that in and really see the value in the fact that we did not want to continuously go to scenes and find someone deceased. And that's what was happening earlier than that. And now we are able to get to the scene sooner. Historically, we seem to be getting there a little bit quicker than EMS, getting that first dose on board and being able to assist that person. So it was that information to get giving us the calls.
Do the kids in the high schools know that? Are your officers going in there and letting them know that if they pick up the phone and call 911, they're not ratting out?
Yes. Yes. The officers all realize and they spread the word that we're looking to make and save your life. We're not looking to bring you in as a criminal. Thus, that change of the mindset, looking at this as a disease and putting a humanistic side to it, away from the criminal justice side. We'd rather see someone get into treatment than go into a jail cell. So in essence, we traded handcuffs in this situation for Narcan.
Lieutenant Glenn, let's talk about the prescription medicine known as Narcan. It can reverse an overdose.
That is correct. It's a very simple process. It's a nasal spray. It's not a needle-based delivery, which was another apprehension that the officers had in the beginning, thinking that there was a possibility of being accidentally stuck by a syringe, but this is all a needle-based delivery system, which works very simple. and also it has no side effects. But with that, we've also been looking at the fact that we are using it now as a safety tool for the officers, because there are some individuals out there now that are throwing drugs at the officers in order to escape. I'm not talking about the people with the substance abuse. These are the ones that are the traffickers. So within our five pillars, we still have enforcement, obviously, for the traffickers of the drugs.
Well, Lieutenant Patrick Glenn, we know that you have to get back to work, and we thank you so much for giving us a heads up on this. Congratulations to you for being an advocate for the Action Award from the White House. I couldn't think of a better guy to be there to represent your department and to be a spokesperson. I have enjoyed very much, Pat, teaching beside you at the Massachusetts Police Academy. Keep up the good work. You've been a tremendous friend.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Thank you to everybody, and keep up the good work also. Take care.
That was Patrick Glenn from the Quincy Police Department, a lieutenant. He's been a spokesperson for this particular cause. We got a lot more to talk about. We're going to take a quick break. Today's broadcast is a production of AM 790 WPRV. Take it away.
Now back to Service Matters with Dave Clifton and Rona Mann. Call them now at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Special thank you to our producer, Nick Costa. We thank him for pointing us in the right direction.
He's the incredible shrinking man. He's been losing weight. He's looking absolutely great.
Although a couple of weeks ago he did fill up on Girl Scout cookies.
No, he was very good.
He was good. I would like to mention to our listening audience, if you'd like to give us a call and join in on this conversation, we're talking about the importance of saving a life. The telephone number 437-5000. Or if you're calling outside of the Ocean State, give us a jingle here at 1-888-345-0790. I'm Dave Clifton here along with Rona Mann, and we are talking about a pretty important subject today. And we're going to pass the microphone over to Jennifer Knight. Jennifer, by the way, congratulations. You'll be getting married soon.
Yes, I will in June 17th. Thank
Gonna
you so much.
Disappoint a lot of young men out there, but congratulations to your new husband. And I know that we're talking about something that we think is very important. Opioid is a narcotic. It's a drug. It acts on the nervous system that certainly can relieve pain.
I got to ask, I know I asked you off the air, but I want you to tell our listeners, how did a pretty young gal like you get involved in all this?
Well, great question. I'm from Franklin, where the Safe Coalition is out of, and I had moved away for 6 years, and upon coming back, I realized that many folks that I played sports with and went to high school with were suffering with addiction or had lost the battle with addiction. And so far too often I was at the grocery store or at CVS running into either people I knew or their parents. And my background is in mental health. And so for all these people who I haven't seen in nearly a decade to ask for some kind of support, I knew that something needed to happen. So I reached out to our local state rep, Jeff Roy, and we decided that maybe a support group would be helpful to the community. So we contacted the YMCA and created a support group. The numbers quickly went from 1 to 15, and we realized that we were on to something that needed a larger conversation.
Tell us about that first town hall meeting when you thought you'd be buying pizza for 10 people.
Well, when Jeff and I first started talking, we both recognized that there was a stigma associated with addiction as well as drugs. And so we thought that it was going to be very difficult to bring people out of their homes and out of the shadows and into this larger venue to have this really sensitive topic discussed. So we wanted to promote this idea of having this community conversation with pizza. We thought that we could entice people to come and talk about what's going on if we offered them food. As we put the Facebook event out for public viewing, the numbers started skyrocketing from 10 to 20 to 50 to 100. And on the night of the event, we had around 300 people attend.
And you did all that with pizza. Can you imagine if you had Chinese food that night?
Right. Yeah, it was unbelievable. And we didn't end up, of course, getting the pizza. But We were shocked with the amount of people that showed up. That day I had worked, and that evening I really did not believe that more than 10 people would come, and I didn't present or prepare anything to speak about. So when I got up on stage that night and looked out and saw that almost every single seat in the high school auditorium was taken, I needed to take a step back and think about that.
Who took the seats? Were they primarily parents, educators, or were there kids there, high school
kids? There were some folks who I know have been living with addiction that were there, which was wonderful. There were a lot of parents. There were a lot of community members. And there were a lot of emotions going around. And
a lot of concern. And today, now, your board of directors, you have 11 people, and you've got 50 people on an advisory council, including police chiefs. You have 8 communities involved, and that's increasing. And you also have participation with your state representatives. So you've come a long way.
We have. I really do not. Sometimes I just have to pinch myself with all of the people that have come around the table and said, we want to help. How can we help? What can we bring? Because really it started off with 2 people just wanting to develop a support group for families who were suffering. One thing that we were noticing right at the beginning is that while we could help someone get into treatment, if they agreed, their parents were still suffering and their siblings were still suffering and the people that they were closest to were still having a really difficult time. So what we first
envisioned... So addiction touches a lot more than the one person who's taking the opioids.
Absolutely. And one thing that we say often is that recovery is not a solo venture, that everyone is involved in recovery. And so if one person is in a detox of some kind, then the rest of the family is in recovery as well. And how do we develop resources for them?
Jen, I was telling Jim before we went on the air, 3 nights ago here in Rhode Island, our governor, Governor Gina Raimondo, gave her State of the State address. And she spoke about education, and she spoke about jobs, and she spoke about some of the problems. And then she stopped and she said, the greatest problem we have in this state right now is opioid addiction. And Jim came prepared, did you not?
Well, I did. I mean, I was looking, I'm very familiar with the Massachusetts numbers, and Rhode Island sadly mirrors Massachusetts. You know, in a 5-year period through 2015, 2010 to 2015, you had 1,271 fatal overdoses. Pardon me. And that represents from 2010, you had 153 in that year, up to 290 in 2015. So this problem is growing. It's an epidemic, and it's not going away anytime soon.
I know people in Rhode Island can contact the Anchor Recovery Community Centers in Pawtucket and also in Warwick at the Kent County Y. Is there anything like the SAFE Coalition that you're aware of?
You know, I am aware that there is some coalition activity, and maybe I should just take a quick step back and talk about what a coalition is. A coalition is a group of stakeholders, which would be represented by police, fire, social service people, clergy, citizens, people in recovery, people out in the community, just citizens, as I said before, government leaders, that all come together from their individual points of view as a community and sit around a table and problem solve on a volunteer basis. So that's what a coalition is. And I am aware of some activity in Rhode Island where there are some coalitions springing up. I can tell you that District Attorney Michael Morrissey in Norfolk County, Massachusetts, where Dave hails from, has been tremendously instrumental in keeping our coalitions alive. And I believe every Norfolk County, Massachusetts community has a coalition.
Let me ask you this. If someone's listening right now and says, we have a problem like that in our family, mm-hmm. in our community, can they contact you even though you're in Mass?
They certainly may.
And what's the best way to do it?
Yeah, we have a resource telephone line, 508-488-8105.
Why don't you repeat that, Jim, if you would?
Sure. That's 508-488-8105. And that number is a resource line that's dedicated to help people navigate treatment options and find supportive services and to point them in the right direction.
We have a responsibility out there as parents, as grandparents, to do what we can to provide that pathway for support, education, and treatment. And I know that police officers, when they go for their training, Jim and Jennifer, the 2 J's, you have to know that they're talking about this. They know that it's a major problem. They know that it's a challenge. when one officer says, we had three overdoses last Friday, and another officer from another community says, well, we had five. The numbers are up, and we have to react. And I'll tell you, we're so happy to be able to see that there's a safe coalition in the Massachusetts area, and they're starting to sprout out, that we need to do what we can to help not just young people, but there are folks in the college age level that have the same issue.
And high school, and probably middle school. I think we need to talk about stigma, because years ago, if you heard drug addict, you thought it was some filthy lowlife in a back alley somewhere with a needle in his arm. And now it's the fresh-faced kid who lives next door, or the person who hurt their back and went to the doctor and was given a prescription. You want to talk about that, either of you?
Well, I'm going to throw it over to Jen real quickly. I was one of the fortunate ones in the audience that night. I'm really indebted to Jennifer Knight and to State Representative Jeffrey Roy and others that that got this thing launched. My son, I have personal involvement with a son who's battling addiction as we speak, and not 2 months or 3 months prior to that first community meeting, he was in a car accident in a coma for several weeks as a result of an overdose. So, you know, the stigma, I felt a lot of stigma. I didn't want to talk about it to anybody. It wasn't like he was a type 1 diabetic or he had some other ailment, Lord forbid, cancer or something like that. This was a shameful secret in our family for a long time. And thanks to people like Jen, we were able to come forward and find a pathway to help. But I know Jennifer has a lot to say about how to battle stigma.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Thank you for all of that, Jim. Well, I think that the most important thing with stigma is to recognize that it exists. Because one thing that I think when I talk with parents, they immediately say, I already know about this. My child is an addict. I'm just accepting it. And so what I really encourage parents and family members and loved ones do is recognize that that's one label. And there's also other labels. They are your child. They are your son. They are your daughter. They are a student. And with that, I think education matters. And so we really cannot come out of the shadows or change our mindset if we aren't willing to take a step to learn more. And so the more we learn, the more we are in charge of our own actions and our own thoughts. And so one thing that we really want to focus on with the coalition is providing exceptional resources in multi capacities so that people can learn about stigma, learn about addiction, and then make their own choices as to how they want to think about.
What kinds of choices do you have? What kinds of meetings are you having in education?
So we, in Franklin, we have kind of a broad range of activities going on. So one thing is that if you live in the Franklin area or the Norfolk County area, we have three support groups a week. We have a group on Mondays, a group on Wednesdays, and a group on Thursdays. Additionally, we have these community conversations once every 2 or 3 months where we bring in a guest speaker. We have a high school peer-to-peer group, so there are high school-aged youth that meet with us every week, and they create dialogue and conversations within their classrooms. We work with the EMS department and the police department. Next week, we're having a CPR and Narcan training for everyone in the community.
I have to ask you this. Narcan works so quickly. It just about immediately brings somebody back. So I'm saying to a kid in high school, how do they get over that if they think, well, heck, I can take it and Narcan will bring me back and then I can do it again? How do you get them beyond that cycle?
When they're on a high.
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful question. And what we've noticed is that there aren't a ton of high school students who are immediately getting addicted and then immediately overdosing. What we're seeing is that past high school and past college, folks are then well into their addiction and are taking enough of whatever drug and then overdosing.
All ages.
So what we want to do is really do early intervention. Much like elementary school, elementary schools teach that cigarettes are bad, so that by the time they get to an age where they can buy cigarettes, they choose not to. That's what we really want to cater to. We want to implement these ideas that there are kind of lines of safety and that there's harm reduction techniques, and that if you get into a place where you think you may overdose, there's also other opportunities to save your life.
And they start young too, folks. An interesting stat, 9 out of 10 people with substance abuse problems started using by age 18?
I would absolutely agree with that. One thing that we've noticed over the past few years is that athletes in high school who do get hurt immediately are brought to the doctor because their parents care so much and they want to stop their child's pain, and the doctor prescribes some kind of pain medication, usually in the form of an opioid. And so if that person is a freshman or sophomore in school and each year they go back to the doctor and each year they get this prescription renewed, by the time they're in college, they have an addiction that they may not even be aware of. And so it absolutely makes sense that during those high school years before they turn 18, they are already addicted to something, but in the moment it just looks like more help.
And I just wanted to add that these overdose fatalities, many of them are coming from later stage addiction, where someone has been using opioid prescription medication. While there are some overdoses, and Narcan will certainly work for prescription medication, what typically happens is that pill user can't afford those pills anymore and switch over to heroin. And we now have a substance called fentanyl, which has been introduced to heroin. It is 100 times more powerful than heroin. And
wow.
You cannot detect it when you're shooting.
And that's used
it.
In the hospital.
That is correct.
It helps put you to sleep for surgeries.
That is correct. And, in fact, they're manufacturing it. They're actually cooking it out of the fentanyl patches that so much of us used from surgery.
Isn't that what killed Michael Jackson, fentanyl?
I think it might have been, yeah. And I'll tell you, the fentanyl overdoses are very, very frightening. Sometimes it takes 6 to 8 administrations of Narcan just to get somebody back.
Wow.
So these are addicts that at this point in their lives, they don't have a choice. They have a disease. They're only using not to get high. They're not saying, hey, one day, you know what, maybe I won't get high today. If they don't use, they're going to become tremendously physically ill. And when they go out and they buy the heroin and it seems very, very cheap, unfortunately it's cheap because sometimes fentanyl's been cooked into it, and it's killing our young and old men and women at record clips.
You know, we're all in the helping people business. We all do lots of volunteer jobs, but this is so important. It's not just helping people. It's kind of leading them in the right direction so they get the right therapy and they get the right help and support. So folks out there, if you're listening, there may be other coalitions in your community, or maybe you'd like to start one. We'll make sure you get a telephone number of someone to contact so that you have an idea how Jennifer and the founders put that together in Franklin.
I would think if you just call your police department in your community, they could probably tell you where you could go for
help. I will tell you that we will make this offer to anybody because most of our ideas have been borrowed by very generous other coalitions. So anybody that's interested, please contact either myself or Jennifer. We would be happy to give you some ideas on
this
how to
start. This is an epidemic, is it not?
It's our nation's largest public health epidemic. We are going to lose
every state, every town.
Every state,
absolutely.
Everywhere. 34,000 people will die in the United States this year as a result of opioid overdose fatalities. And our nation committed $1.1 billion under the leadership of President Obama. Sounds great. We committed $5 billion to keeping Ebola off our shores. So as you can see, it makes me wonder out loud what the impact of stigma and the lack of understanding of addiction by some of our political leaders, how that impacts their will to fund some of these efforts.
It's got to be such a fine line, too, between the person who's been given that drug by a doctor, by a dentist for pain, to where now you go over the line because you can't stop. It is such a fine line, and people should not be stigmatized because of it.
Absolutely. And one thing that Rhode Island and Massachusetts have both done are that they've created this prescription medication system where doctors can only prescribe for a certain amount of days. For someone to continue that medication, they have to be checked again. And so there are new systems that are being developed in different states so that there aren't too many medications. So for instance, if you go in and you get your wisdom teeth out, you don't get a month's worth of opioid pain medication, you get 3 days. And if you are still feeling extreme pain after those 3 days, then you are going to visit the doctor again. And so we want more ways to monitor how drugs are hitting the market. We want more ways to support folks who feel like after they're giving a prescription, they know what to do with it, such as disposals. Most police departments do have medication disposal containers, but life hack, little tip, you can mix any kind of cat litter or used coffee grinds to break up medication in your cabinet.
Wow.
Well, well said. We're going to ask you to hold that thought. We're going to come back again. We're going to take a short break. If you'd like to listen to this broadcast once again, you can go to podcast at 790business.com so that you get the opportunity to listen to exactly what we're saying today, because it could be advantageous in your local communities.
We'll be right back.
Now back to Service Matters with Dave Clifton and Rona Mann. Call them now at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And welcome back once again to Service Matters. Dave Clifton here along with Rona Mann. And we're talking about the importance of saving lives and doing what we can to help young people out, and maybe not just young people, helping folks out who are very much involved in the growing opioid health epidemic. And some people have been fortunate enough to get revived as a result of Narcan. I often wonder why so many young people are overdosing. There are issues that they're concerned about. I think it's something that started at the early ages, as mentioned during the show. And Rona, this was a show that we probably could do another hour on.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
We're in the final segment right now.
Sure.
And we're going to give our speakers an opportunity to give their last comments.
I want to play devil's advocate, and either one of you or both of you can answer. Isn't Narcan an enabler? We talked about this before.
Sure.
You know, why give him Narcan? Yeah. He's only going to go back.
Well, I love that question because it's a provocative question. It's definitely on people's minds. And I will tell you that I'm going to give you the analogy that I gave earlier. If you had a 400-pound man with a pack of Marlboro Reds in his pocket and he was ordering another cheeseburger at Burger King and you were behind him in line and he fell succumbing to a heart attack, would you look at the defibrillator and say, you know what, I think he's just going to reoffend? No, you defibrillate him, even though it costs money to recharge that thing. You get him to the hospital. He'd get first-quality care, including full cardiac rehab, even if he decides to go back out and eat cheeseburgers. So what I'm suggesting here is that the use of Narcan is giving people one more chance to get recovery, just like it is that victim.
Because there is hope.
There is always hope. And we have plenty of examples in our community.
With treatment, things can happen. Jennifer, we thank you so much for being part of the founders. It dates back to 2015, not too long ago. And you've had lots of people that joined you. How about some final comments that you could make about our discussions here this afternoon?
Well, I just think that this is exactly what we want to be doing. We want to be able to talk with people about things that are happening in their households that they may be nervous to talk about with their own family or with their own friends.
So it's education, and it's like a listening tour. Talk to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, myself included, I think all of us have felt like we are alone in this battle and we don't know what to do. And so if what we can provide is the opportunity for someone to recognize that they aren't alone, then that is enough in the moment. And we really encourage anyone who feels like they may be open to learning more or getting help to call us, because we are always listening, we are always willing to help, and we will not let you down.
And again, I think it's so important for either of you or both of you to mention that if you're calling 911 to say, I have a problem or my friend does, you're not going to be arrested. This is the Good Samaritan law, correct?
That is exactly right. And as your earlier guest, the lieutenant, alluded to, that law has been tremendously beneficial, because you cannot be arrested for, even if you have a personal use amount of drugs on you, you can't be arrested for calling and asking for help.
Good Samaritan law,
yeah, good
covers
Samaritan
that.
Law. Yeah.
You know, Jennifer, you're certainly a shining knight without the armor. The fact is, you've stepped up to the plate in the town of Franklin, and there's lots of communities out there that are looking for a Jennifer Knight. They certainly would like to have a James Derrick, who certainly follows through. He's the president of the Safe Coalition, Inc., and things are happening, and we want them to continue to happen. And, folks, if you want to contact Jennifer, I'm going to have them give you their contact information just so that you have the opportunity.
Sure. We can be contacted at info@safecoalitionma.com. That's our email address.
Even if you're in Rhode Island, folks, you can do this.
Even if, or you
Why don't you repeat it again,
Jim? Sure. It's info@safecoalitionma.com. And our website is safecoalitionma.com. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. And our telephone number is 508-488-8105. I don't know whether we have time or not to mention a couple of quick programs.
We do have time.
Yes. Terrific. So a couple of programs that we have coming up in Franklin, thanks to our great partnership with the Franklin Fire Department, Franklin Police Department, and BAMSI, which is Brockton Area Multi-Service Corporation. We are offering on February 15th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. free Narcan and Narcan training to the public. This will be just a rolling walk-in basis, no reservation required. We will also offer CPR hands-on training at specific times, and you can go to our website for more information. We will be running that program in March in Foxborough at a date, and again, you don't have to be a resident of either of those towns. Everyone's welcome to come.
Jim, let me interrupt you for a moment. When you're saying free Narcan training, you were explaining off the air that in Massachusetts, you can go into a pharmacy and get Narcan.
That is correct. Thanks to a standing order in Massachusetts, you do not need a prescription to get Narcan. And Jennifer was enlightening me earlier that in Rhode Island, both CVS and Walgreens have a standing order, so people can go in and get it. At this event, it will be available, both Narcan and the training, free of charge. Again, I'd like to mention the fact that on March 16th, we have Dr. Ruth Poté, a nationally recognized expert, coming to Franklin High School to talk about the neurobiology of addiction. And finally, our helpline, 508-488-8105.
Thanks so much, Jim. We want, before we leave you today, to thank the Navigant Credit Union. They underwrite this program for the entire year. We're very happy to have them. They are a good neighbor. They're also in the people helping people business.
That's
are they
their
not?
Motto, people having helping people, and that's exactly what we talked about today during the show. A special thank you to the two J's, both James and Jennifer, for joining us today on AM 790 WPRV. An interesting show, a lot of helpful information that might be very helpful to folks out there who see the need to either volunteer and help, or maybe they see something else that they want to make sure gets taken care of. Don't be afraid to call 911. They will be at your rescue.
So what are you going to be doing Sunday night about 6:40 p.m.? You said you don't drink, you don't smoke. Do you eat nachos? What are
no,
you going
I'll
to do?
No, I'll be eating Chinese food as we watch the Patriots defeat Pittsburgh. That's going to wrap it up for today's show. That song in the background is called What a Wonderful World. And what a wonderful world it is because of folks like yourself. Louis Armstrong said it the best. He sang it. I don't sing.
Thank
but the
God.
Fact is it's so important that folks do what they can to help others. I'm Dave Clifton.
I'm Rona Mann. We're thanking our producer, Nick Costa.
And we're bidding you farewell from our studios here in East Providence. We say to you, go forth to serve. Do it with a smile on your face. And if you're going to do something good to help someone else, do it with the dignity that it deserves.
See you next week.
Have a nice weekend.